Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and today we want to talk a little bit about eternal shame. Jeremiah had some really great things to say about this. So let's see what Jeremiah 23:33-40 has to say about this. It says, starting with verse 33 in Jeremiah chapter 23. Now when this people or the prophet or priest ask you, saying, "What is the oracle of the Lord?" then you shall say to them, "What oracle? The Lord declares, I will abandon you." Then as for the prophet or the priest or the people who say, "The oracle of the Lord," well, I will bring punishment upon that man and his household. Thus will each of you say to his neighbor and to his brother, "What has the Lord answered?" or "What has the Lord spoken?" For you will no longer remember the oracle of the Lord, because every man's own word will become the oracle, and you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you will say to that prophet, "What has the Lord answered you?" and "What has the Lord spoken?" For if you say, "The oracle of the Lord," surely thus says the Lord, because you said this word, "The oracle of the Lord," I have also sent to you, saying, "You shall not say, 'The oracle of the Lord.'" Therefore, behold, I will surely forget you and cast you away from my presence, along with the city which I gave you and your fathers. I will put an everlasting reproach on you and an everlasting humiliation which will not be forgotten. That's pretty stern. And that's pretty stern coming from a God who is only love. I love the Lord God. I love the Lord God with all my heart. I do. And I know He loves me. And He is a God of love. And, well, I tell you, without His love, I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it through the day. There's days I want to give up. There's days I just want to quit. Pretty nasty emails and letters from people because of our ministry here. But we have to stay steadfast in the faith and do the Lord's work. But it gets oppressive at times. And without God's love, I'm afraid I would maybe give up. But God loves me, and I know it. But God also has other attributes that we need to let you know about. You can go to any church in the United States and hear about the love of God. But you'll go to any church in the United States and very seldom will you ever hear anything else about God. He's a big God. He's not a one-sided entity. He is multifaceted, and there's a lot to Him. And we need to understand more about what He said about Himself. And that's what we're doing today with Jeremiah. He's talking about, you know, what will happen. The people of Jerusalem were asking each other, you know, what's the oracle of the Lord? They wanted to know the message God had laid on the heart of His prophets to be delivered to His people. But God responded, "What message? I've nothing to say to you. I intend to forsake you." The false prophet who claimed to have an oracle from God were the special focus of the Lord's displeasure, you see. And that's what they didn't understand that. Well, you know, I was reading where, in a little short ditty here in that same book we had talked about a few days ago, Water Around the Altar. Water Around the Altar from, that's from wordfortheweary.org. Great book. And they had in there some things about this also, and that said God reserves some of the strongest language of the Bible to describe penalties for dishonesty in general and for deception that leads others into disobedience in particular. In this short passage in Jeremiah, God declares 6 times what He will cause to happen to those in leadership who prophesy or teach falsely. Now, for anybody who doesn't understand that God is a jealous God and that God will certainly punish any and or all of us for our iniquities towards Him, you better wake up. You better wake up. In the New Testament, Second Peter 2 proclaims that those who rise up and infiltrate God's people to lead them astray bring swift destruction upon themselves. That's verse 1. God does not mince words, folks, nor does he deceive us by couching his terms in politically correct language. In his love, he makes it abundantly clear. If you read, listen to what I read, he makes it abundantly clear what behaviors we must avoid, as well as what kind of teachers to steer clear of. The Bible makes everything clear as glass for us. We're the ones who muddy the picture. We're the ones who muddy the water. We're the ones who pull the blinders down so you can't see through it in the glass anymore. It's man that has torn apart God's word and turned it into a sham and a shame. It's sickening. Back to this little booklet, it says, some monuments in the United States have recently become controversial. They're not creating a stir due to the fact that they remind us of the 10 suggestions. No. Nowadays, many people, even professing Christians, brush off much of the Old Testament because of its numerous references to the severity of God's judgment upon those who sin against him. It's much more comfortable to focus on God's love and dismiss some of his more disturbing attributes. Unfortunately, ignoring an unpopular or unpleasant teaching will not make it go away, folks. It's not going to make it go away. Unpopular teachings, unpleasant teachings in the Bible are there, and they're there to stay. If you're going to read the true word of God, read it. You'll find out it's there. God hates anyone who misuses his name or speaks lies to his people, and he will bring terrible judgment upon you. I guarantee it. The word, the Bible says so. God's holy word says so, and that makes it so. So your job today, listening, when you get done listening here, is take a few minutes and pray. Ask God to reveal his true character to you so that you can really appreciate his holiness and understand who he is. You know, it's a repetitive thing that you must do, and that's talk to God. Don't make it a habitual thing where you read or say the same things over and over again. Talk to God. Talk to God every day. You don't have to have a certain format to talk to God. You don't have to worry about saying thee, thou, and all this kind of stuff. Just talk to God. Pray to him. Say, God, I need your help. I need your help. Reveal to me who you truly are so I can see who you truly are, so I can appreciate you more, so I can appreciate your holiness more. God, help me to do all these things. If you fumble around with words, that's okay. God understands. God's not looking for somebody to start praying to him and said, oh, dear Father in heaven, holy, 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 stuff like that. You know, you don't have to do that. You can do that if you truly mean it. If that's from your heart and you want to say that to God, do it. That's wonderful. But don't do it because you think you have to sound holy or righteous or something to God. You do not have to do that. You talk to God just like you can talk to anybody else and ask him. Just keep in mind all the time that he is a holy God and that you revere him and that you fear him and you love him and you're in awe of him. He will help you. Remember that. He will help you. You know, the Ten Commandments were for a reason. The Old Testament is for a reason. The New Testament is for a reason. It's all part of God's Word. The love is part of God's Word. The jealousy is part of God's Word. God's displeasure with people is part of his Word. We got to understand, you know, that God will bring judgment upon people when they're wrong. That's what he does. And some of it's eternal shame and eternal judgment. You know, that's what he does. That's what he is. That's who he is. You know, people always, just like Israel, we want a king. We want a king. We want a king. You know, so God give him a king, and look what happened. You know, what a mess to start off with, wasn't it? Absolutely terrible. It was just terrible. You know, that's how it works, folks. You know, we got to understand that God is just. He's holy. But you won't hear these things preached in a normal church, and not in today's world. Used to be it here in every church almost. Methodists used to preach it. Presbyterians used to preach it. Baptists used to preach it. Episcopalians used to preach it. Everybody used to preach that God is God. God is just. God is love. But God is also jealous. God is also is vengeful. God says, if you will not worship me, the rocks will if I so desire. God says you will worship me or not. And the not means, don't just think that God says you'll worship me or not, and that's the end of it. It's not that. Listen. It's important. God says you will worship me or not. And if you decide to go down the not road, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to be with Jesus. You're not going to be with God. You're not going to be saved and have peace eternally. You are not going to have any of those things. You're going to go to hell. You're going to be tormented and tortured for eternity. That's what you're going to gain. So see, it's not just accept God or else, nothing. It's accept God or accept his wrath. Accept his love or accept his wrath. Accept his way or accept the devil's way. There's not an in-between. You cannot follow two masters. You cannot have two masters. You cannot have two masters. Not just money or mammon and God. You can't have God and the devil as both your masters. It's one or the other. And everybody says, well, I'm not following the devil. Well, if you're not following God, you're following the devil, because the devil's one that's leading you to do all the things you do. You just don't realize it. You're lost. You don't realize it. You're lost and don't know it. It's like being in a timber and you think you're doing fine because you can still see the sky. You don't realize you're lost. You don't realize how lost you are. And that's what happens when you're following the devil. You're lost. You don't even realize you're following the devil's wants and wishes, not the Lord, God's. And that's the difference. And if you decide that's what you want to do, then hey, do it. But God's judgment upon those who sin against him is severe. And that's what I'm saying here. It's eternal shame. It's eternal damnation. It's not just a temporary thing, folks. This is not what you hear in today's churches, but this is what you need to hear. This is the truth. The truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. This is the truth. This is the truth that'll set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. For all you non-Pentecostals listening, it don't hurt to say hallelujah once in a while. It don't hurt to say amen, praise the Lord, once in a while. It don't hurt to lift your hands up and just give yourself over to the Lord and worship him and love him. It don't hurt to not be ashamed. You feel like saying hallelujah, say it. You don't mind cheering at basketball games. You don't mind going watching your grandsons or your children, you know, play basketball and football and baseball and volleyball and all that other stuff and cheering and yelling and clapping. So, you know, don't be ashamed to do it for the Lord also. If you feel like saying hallelujah, say hallelujah. Doesn't mean you got to stand up on the back of the pews and act like an idiot, but you can praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, don't accept eternal shame. Accept eternal life. Amen. Gotta go. Love every one of you. See you in the morning. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.